yeah, I encourage you to come out. We need tonight. We've got a lot of good stuff, pictures, videos, and stuff like that. And if you, of course, that's the reason you ought to come out, find out about the work and stuff. But if you don't come out, you won't find out what happened to my wife on the mountain. So, that's a good reason to come. About that, she's back there shaking her head. So.
If you don't care much about him,
amen, brother,
or the things he's done for you, if his word you take for granted, and you don't believe it's true, and if the blood he shed on Calvary won't melt your heart of stone, well, please don't criticize him. He's the rock I'm leaning on. He's the rock of my salvation.
Yes.
He's my refuge from the storm. In sorrow, he's my comfort.
That's
right. He's the reason I was born.
Yes.
And he's the one I can depend on when all my friends are gone. So please don't pray. Friend, he could be your savior, and he could be your dearest friend. While at the door he's knocking, if you'd only let him in, he could be your strength and courage,
yep,
in a world.
If you have your Bible tonight, let's turn to, if you would, to Exodus tonight, the 7th chapter of the book of Exodus tonight, and I have a little bit of somewhat of an unusual message, I guess, for Sunday night, but this is what the Lord seemed to lead us to tonight, and some messages, you know, they make you feel good, some make you feel bad, some warn you, some exhort you, all different kinds. But in Exodus 7 tonight, we'll read verse 1 down through verse number 14, and we'll read verse 14 together. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I, the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord, that means they were 80 years old, and we think when we're about 80 years old, we're about done. They're just getting started. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then shalt thou say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. We'll read verse 14 together. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. All right, you be seated. Father, we just bow tonight, Lord, and before you. And Lord, we know many times we come into the church doors and Lord, we don't stop maybe long enough to realize, Lord, what took place so that we could be in church tonight and that we'd even be a church. And Lord, you suffered and died and bled on an old rugged cross, Lord, for our sins and spilt your blood, Lord, to purchase the church, Lord. And so we realize that down through the ages that not only you, Lord, but many of our church fathers and people have suffered and many of them martyred and killed, Lord, and the church is still going today. And we thank you for that. We realize it's fell upon us now. It's our responsibility, Lord, in our day to uphold the church. And we're thankful, Lord, we got folks that do that, that come out and support the services, Lord, and we pray that others would. But Lord, as we pray tonight, we ask now for you to bless what's been read, and God give us some understanding of it, Lord, and may the Holy Spirit open our eyes, spiritual eyes, and our spiritual ears, that we might be able to leave tonight and have some understanding of what we've read tonight. And I admit, Lord, that I don't have the ability to do it without the Holy Spirit anointing and using us. God, give us liberty tonight and give us the words to say. And I pray, Lord, the message go out, find a lodging place. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do tonight in this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Three times that we read tonight in these 14 verses, three times we read about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. In verse 3, he said, God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Then we read in verse 13, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Now, here's a subject tonight that deserves our attention. I'm speaking tonight about the hardening of the heart. And we're going to look at what happened to Pharaoh, that it might not happen to us. But we realize Pharaoh's a lost man, and Pharaoh's a type of the devil, if you want to really find his type. He's a type of Satan that oppresses the people of God and wants to bind them up, won't let them go. But physically speaking, he's just a lost man. And the hardening of the heart is not something that just happens to lost people. It's something that can happen to people that are saved. And I dare say that many people tonight in the church world tonight have just that. They have a hardened heart toward the things of God. So I want us to look at this tonight for just a few minutes in this chapter and a few other chapters. And I want to look at it tonight under three things tonight concerning the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. First of all, I want to look at the author of it. Who caused this hardening of Pharaoh's heart? And then I want to look at the attributes of a hardened heart. What does a hardened heart produce if we get a hardened heart? And then in our case tonight, I want to look at the annihilation of a hardened heart. That God wiped out Pharaoh. Now, when we look at this tonight, right off the bat, you might say, well, that's pretty easy, Brother Rick, to know who the author is, because it tells us in verse 3 that God said that I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And, of course, it does say that, and we believe that, and we understand that.
God has already sent Moses and Aaron down there. This is not their first trip down to talk to Pharaoh. And this time, God tells Moses, he said, I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh.
Man.
He said, you're going to be Pharaoh's god, so to speak, little g.
Right.
Meaning that that God was going to let Moses tell Pharaoh what he could do and what he couldn't do.
Man.
God would let Pharaoh be the one that brings the judgment upon him, or that releases him from judgment. And so he said, you're going to be a god to Pharaoh. And he said, Aaron, your brother, is going to be his prophet, going to be your prophet. We know that Moses said, I can't go, I can't speak, I'm not eloquent of speech. And God said, all right, said, if that's your excuse, I'll send Aaron, he's eloquent. And so he sends Aaron down there, and Aaron is going to be the prophet, just like it. Isaiah was a prophet to God, and Ezekiel was a prophet to God. He said, Moses, you're going to be a god to Pharaoh. And he said, Aaron's going to be your prophet. He said, I'm going to tell you what to tell him, and he's going to tell Pharaoh what I say. Now, we look here and we understand here that first of all, that the job of a prophet is found in verse 2, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. I think it's significant that God said it that way, because they've done been down there before, and there seems to be an indication that they didn't say all that God said. Seem like they may have softened it down a little bit when they went down there. God noted that, and God said, when you go down there, say all that I command you to say. And I will tell you, sometimes God has you to say things that you know is not going to be received. You know it's going to aggravate people. You know sometimes even make people mad. But it's better to say it. It's better to go ahead and do what God tells you to do. But the fear of man will always bring a snare if you'll let it do that. And so they go down there, and we would believe that God is the author of this hardened heart. We wouldn't have no trouble believing that if it wasn't for a lot of other passages in the Bible that we are familiar with. Passages like the Bible says that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. God does not want to destroy men. God wants to save men. The Bible said in the book of 2 Peter, God is not willing that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. What I'm saying is, as God's first object is that God wants men saved. God wants men to hear the Word of God. God wants the Word of God to soften the heart of man. So we look here and we see we got about three options here. We could say, number one, a sovereign God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Then we could say this, because were it not for this verse, we might say, yes, that's exactly what happened. Were it not for the verse in chapter 8 and verse 15, the Bible said, and when Pharaoh saw there was respite, Pharaoh, or he, hardened his heart. So we see that we got one place that said that God hardened his heart. We've got another place where the Bible said Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Now I believe the answer to this, of who's the author is to be found in the combination of both scriptures and the rightly dividing of the Word of God. You see, we can never take just one scripture isolated and set it out there by itself and build a doctrine on it, or build a belief on just one scripture. But the Bible said, Brother Eddie, that we're supposed to rightly divide the Word of God. We're supposed to read all the Bible and put all the verses together. I've said this for years, and I believe it. And I believe tonight that if you were to get a board and you were to make three lines on that board, and on one line you put Israel or the Jew, on the other line you put the church, or you put the Gentile or the lost man, on the other line you put the church of God, And every time you read your Bible, every verse in that Bible goes under one of those headings.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible talks about rightly dividing the Word of God. We realize tonight that everybody knows that the Bible's got two divisions in it. We have an Old Testament and we have a New Testament. Amen. But when we rightly divide the Word of God, if we get every verse in the place where it ought to be, then the Bible has one central message to say to all mankind. The reason we got so many religions in the world is because we don't get it all where it needs to go.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, the Bible doesn't say 50 different things. The Bible doesn't teach 50 different beliefs. No, Paul said we ought to believe the same thing and speak the same thing. And we will, if we're led of the Holy Spirit of God, we will if we rightly divide the Word of God.
Right.
So I believe the answer to who the author is here, Brother Eddie, I believe it's a scriptural solution. I believe what happens this. I believe that Pharaoh hardened his heart. God has sent down there many times already to warn Pharaoh. Moses down there, let my people go. And every time we find that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and that Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to let him go. I want you to understand, and I believe this is right, that when a man hardens his heart against the things of God, he may harden his heart against the truth of God many times, but there can come a time when he crosses that line and God hardens his heart. You see, the same God that loves you and will cleanse your heart, if you reject him, if you refuse him, if you turn him away, that same God that will cleanse your heart will cement your heart and seal your doom if you keep on hardening your heart against God. So we see here the author of it, I believe, it's a combination of things. Of course, the devil has his hand in it. He wants man's hard heart against the things of God. And then man himself has his hand in it. And man hardens his own heart. And then there can come that time. It's a frightening thought tonight. It's a scary thought tonight that somebody would reject God and push God off. And do despite into the spirit of grace until they reach such a point in their life that God hardened their own hearts. But I believe that's what happened to Pharaoh in this verse that we're reading tonight. Now, we know that Pharaoh had a hard heart. We're told that many times through this book, but we've already read it three times tonight. But let's look at Pharaoh and see what his hardened heart has produced. You know, the Bible says, talking about false prophets, the Bible said, by their fruits you know them. Amen.
Amen.
He said, enter in at the straight gate, for broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Right.
And he says, beware of false prophets. He said, for inwardly, he said, outwardly they're in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. He said, many will say to me in that day, have we not cast out devils in thy name and done many wonderful works? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So we realize tonight that our Christian life, that it should produce some fruits. Amen. Galatians, we read Galatians, the Bible says there in the book of Galatians chapter 5, he says the fruits of the Spirit, and he names nine things there. Meaning that if you have the Holy Spirit in your life and you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, he will produce some things in your life. You say, what will it produce? Well, the Bible says love, first of all, love and joy and meekness and gentleness and temperance and all these things. Now, I don't produce them. If I produce them, then I'm doing it in the flesh. What I do is I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I listen to Him. I come under His control. And when I'll do that, He'll automatically produce these things into my life. Amen. So He said, by their fruits you'll know them. You can know a false prophet by his fruits. Just watch him. Just watch a David Koresh and he'll prove himself. Just watch a Jim Jones and he'll prove himself. Amen.
Amen.
By what they produce, you'll know them, he's saying. And so we look here at Pharaoh's heart and we realize one of the things that the hardening of his heart had produced in the life of Pharaoh was that the Bible said when Moses went down there to him and he said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go so that they can serve me, he said.
Amen.
Said, let them go. And you know what Pharaoh said in Exodus 5 and verse 2? Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Can I tell you, a hardened heart, it produces within a man, it produces that which I preached about this morning, pride. To say that nobody's going to tell me what to do.
Right.
Nobody's going to tell me where to go.
Yep.
Nobody's going to tell me what to let go of.
Yep.
Nobody's going to tell me what to get out of my life or what to leave in my life. You see, that's what Pharaoh was doing. He refused to obey the Lord. You see, the Bible says here, and I said Pharaoh hardened his heart. And we do know that that's something that a man can do. A man can harden his heart. We're told all about it over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. The Bible tells us about it over there. And here's what it says. And we can see in the context that we're not taking something out of context. Because in Hebrews 3, the Bible said, verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart.
Right.
So that's something a man can do.
Yeah,
a man can harden his heart against God.
Right.
A man can harden his heart against the things of God.
Right.
He said, harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years. In other words, God said, you saw what I was doing for 40 years. God said, you saw what I was doing in the wilderness, or they did. And He said, they hardened their hearts. And when they tempted me, and they saw my works for 40 years, and yet they still did not do what God wanted them to do. So number one is that we can put aside the things that God has warned us about and God has showed us about.
Right.
We can put them aside, and that's a dangerous thing to do.
Amen.
Right.
You see, trouble in our country is that we hear so much preaching that our heart gets hardened to it.
Yes.
Here's the dull hearing.
The word that we use is people are gospel hardened. They've heard so much of the gospel that they're hardened to it.
Amen.
Right.
And that can happen. That's something we have to be careful about, because they deliberately saw what God was doing, but they didn't pay it no mind.
Amen.
If you go back just one chapter back in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip.
Amen.
In other words, we can go to church, hear the preaching like we did this morning or like we did last Sunday night. We can hear the preaching, sit there, enjoy it. And then when it's all over, we go out the doors and we forget what God said to us. We let those truths slip out of our life. We get right back in our old life way. We get right back into what the devil wants us to do.
Amen.
And my friend, that can lead to a hardened heart.
That's right.
Let's read a little father. He said, your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Did you know everything's got to do with the heart?
Amen.
God looks on the heart, doesn't he?
Amen.
Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Amen.
The Bible said that salvation's a heart matter.
Yep.
Right. It's not a head matter, it's a heart matter.
Right.
With the heart, man believing.
Amen.
That's talking about the feelings, the emotion, the innermost being of a person. That's what salvation has to do with.
Yeah.
It's not the intellectual fact of about three things. I mean, you've got to have the knowledge, but you've got to believe it with your heart.
Amen.
Man come here one day and he had one of our tracts and he said, "You surely don't believe that somebody could just read this tract and be saved." I said, "No, sir, I don't believe that unless that God's already dealt with their heart and God's already prepared their heart and God's already opened their heart and convicted them." And I said, "If that's happened, sir," I said, "there's enough Bible in that tract to tell that man how to be saved.
Right?
And if he'll believe on it with his heart, he can get saved."
Amen.
Amen.
You ever think about all the tracts you put out? I put out a boatload of them over 34 years. I'm sure you put out a share of them, many of you.
Yeah.
A lot of times you never hear back from them, but that don't mean because you didn't hear back from them that something didn't come of it.
Yeah.
It may be before you get home to heaven, before you find out what happened. Amen.
Yeah.
So we can get hardened toward that kind of stuff. We can get hardened toward witnessing. We can get hardened toward passing out tracts. We can get hardened toward the things of God.
Right.
He said here, he said, "You do err in your heart." That's why the Bible said, "Give all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence."
That's right.
For out of it are the issues of life.
Amen.
God uses the heart because if you've got a sound heart, if you've got a good heart, then you're a long ways down the road in health. Because that heart has a lot to do with everything else. How that heart's pumping has to do with how my legs and feet are working and the circulation and all those things. So if your heart's sound, probably a lot of other things is all right too. And I tell you, if your heart's right with God, everything else is going to be pretty good where it needs to be too.
Amen. Amen.
That's why we need to guard the heart. He said, "They do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways." And he said, "So I swear unto my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief."
Yeah, that's right.
"In departing from the living God." Not only did they deliberately not pay any attention to what God was doing, we're talking about the hardening of the heart, but they denied the Word of God.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, he said here, "Take heed, brother, lest there be any of you of an evil heart circling of unbelief." Unbelief can harden your heart.
Amen.
Not believe what God said. Not believe God's word. That can lead down the road to a hard heart. Pharaoh didn't believe God. They throwed that serpent down there, that rod down there. It turned into a serpent. They picked it back up. It turned into a rod. Pharaoh saw it, but he denied all that.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, people see God do great things.
Right.
Yeah.
They just deny it.
Yeah. Right.
Explain
it away.
They just deny it. Explain it away.
Yeah.
Pay no mind to what God's doing.
Right.
We're so blessed here in America. We see God do so many things. Our heart gets hardened toward what God is doing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother, you go over and Nathan just come back. But I've been over in third world countries.
Yeah.
Brother, it's different over there.
Yeah.
Man.
Right.
Somebody gets saved, they get excited about it.
Yeah.
I know we went to Jamaica. We give them Bibles and they had a Ziploc bag, a gallon Ziploc bag. And they'd take that Bible and they put it in that Ziploc bag and they walked to church. And when they got to church, they'd unlock that Ziploc bag and they'd get that Bible out and they wouldn't go like we do. They just take each page and turn it and then lay it down like that. And then when service was over, they'd put it back in that Ziploc bag. You say, why? They had respect for the Word of God. They didn't have 10 of them laying in the house. Amen. And sometimes you and I can get hardened to the Word of God. That's God's book. That's God's Word.
Amen.
Brother Rick.
Lord, honor the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Brother Epps, you know, you probably heard him say this, but He said that we had a big Bible on the coffee table. Used to, everybody had a big Bible on the coffee table.
Yeah.
And I got my dad one. It's actually one we had when he lived in the apartments over here at Reach the Apartments. And I took it over there to my dad. He wasn't even going to church then. And I took it over there and I set it on his coffee table. And one day I went in there and he said he was having some problems with his feed or something. And I said, well, here, let me put some of his stuff on it. And I set that on that Bible. He said, don't do that.
Amen.
I said, do what? He said, don't set that on that Bible. I said, oh, okay. Okay, he wouldn't even go to church. I'm preaching. You see, we get hardened to the things of God.
Right.
Brother Epp said that his father was not saved. He was an alcoholic. His grandfather wasn't saved. He's an alcoholic. He said his grandmother, she'd get drunk to be able to live with him. God, the way she could put up with him. And he said, we had a big King James Bible sitting on the coffee table, and he said you could do anything else you wanted to, but if you dropped cigarette ashes on that Bible, he'd slap your brains out.
Amen.
He said, what are you doing?
Reverence.
They had a heart toward the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible talks about the man that trembles at God's Word.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Boy, he may have been around anymore, is he?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we see here that you can come to a place where you deny the Word of God. You say, oh, I believe the Word of God, Brother Rick. Well, I believe that everybody here believes the Word of God.
Yeah.
But we still deny it when we hear it and we don't practice it.
Amen.
Right.
Right. That's good.
We deny it in our practice, you see.
Right.
And when we deny the Word of God, little by little we can harden our heart.
Yeah,
it's not something that just happens overnight.
Come on.
Right.
That's right.
Come on.
It's just gradual thing. Little by little by little.
Yeah.
Amen. Even harder and harder. And then he says this in verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah.
The deceiving of sin can harden our heart.
Amen.
It's happened to all of us.
Yeah.
You say, what do you mean? Well, things that used to would just really upset us and tear us all to pieces 15 years ago, we pay it no mind now.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You see, what's happened? Sin's deceived us.
Yeah.
Man.
Because we've seen so much of it and so many people are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets to a place in our life where that we think it don't bother us anymore.
Yeah.
Don't bother us anymore.
Right.
There's a lot of things like that in the world today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, you take, when I started preaching, if somebody come into the church with a pair of shorts on, my goodness,
yeah,
they'd been probably marched to the back door and said, go put something decent on and come back.
Yeah.
But now there's churches where the preacher dresses that way.
Right. Yeah.
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 You're right.
Amen.
Sad but true.
When our ladies went to a church down in Bowling Green, well, I don't care to tell you where it was, Hillview Heights. And she went down there and she had a dress on. And said the pastor come back there and said, it was summertime. He said, why you got that old dress on for? I said, it's hot. I said, we wear shorts around here. She said, well, I don't do that. I don't do that. Well, they didn't used to do it either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you see, it starts in with the hardening of the heart.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah.
People, you know, they give me a hard time because I try to get the women to wear dresses. I'm not a slave driver. I don't run anybody out. You don't sign no paper saying you won't do it. But I'm going to share with y'all something tonight. I've never shared in open public tonight.
Let's go for it. Go. Come on.
But I don't have a problem.
Bless your heart.
With a real nice pink suit, they look better than some dresses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But if I put my preaching standard down here, I'm going to get down here.
Right.
And if I say a pink suit, they don't come in here with blue jeans on and short shorts before it's too long.
Right.
And so I'm going to hold the standard way up here, hoping to hit somewhere about right in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Right.
That's good. Yeah.
See, our heart gets hardened to that stuff.
Yeah. You're right.
We get where we don't care, and then it creeps into church.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then once our heart gets hardened, we get where we don't care and don't bother us no more, then we're getting in bad shape. Amen.
Amen.
So Pharaoh, He refused to obey the Lord. He said, who's the Lord that I would obey? There's a record here of repeated ignored warnings. Before we get through with this thing, God's going to send 10 plagues. Plagues, 10 of them. And He's going to mingle several miracles in with them plagues.
Right.
And Pharaoh, after every one of them, Pharaoh's going to do the same thing. He's going to harden his heart until God takes over and God hardens his heart.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's right.
And as long as Pharaoh's hardened his heart, they still hope in hell.
Right.
But brother, when God hardens it,
yeah.
Amen. We got a different thing going on then when God hardens it. Amen.
Amen.
God sent 10 judgments there. I couldn't prepare this sermon without thinking about our nation.
Amen.
How that it fits this outline of this category.
Yeah.
God has sent earthquakes.
Yeah.
God has sent pestilence. And God has sent fire. And God has sent great storms like we haven't seen in years. Why is God doing this? He's trying to wake up this nation.
Right.
Because this nation has a hard heart. Tell God.
Amen.
They didn't used to have that.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
We used to didn't have all that storms and stuff like we have today.
Right.
It's not because of climate change.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen. You do a history, if you do a study on weather back far as you want to go, the weather's always changed.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
There's always been colder winters and hotter winters, and that's just something that's always been.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then people say this a lot, and it's not true, but they say, well, you know, the Bible says in the last days it'll get where you can't take the seasons apart. That's not in the Bible.
Right, right.
The Bible said there'll always be seed time, there'll always be summer, there'll always be winter until God gets ready to wind this thing up, amen. They try to sell us this package on the global warming and climate change, and they are right, there is coming a global warming.
Amen.
There is going to be a climate change.
You know that, brother.
But not the way they talk about it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
They ignored all these repeated warnings.
Oh.
Pharaoh did.
Oh.
And then his repentance wasn't real. You know, if you read through there, let's go over. Let's just pick one out. Let's go to the second judgment there in chapter 8 when God sent the frogs.
Yeah.
And I guess every preacher that's preached very much time at all has preached on One More Night with the Frogs.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great message and such a great text that's found in the Word of God. And what happened was that God told Aaron in verse 6 to stretch out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought the frogs upon the land of Egypt. And I'll say something about that in a minute. And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over thee. That's like saying glory to God. He's finally seen it.
Yeah.
And he said, when shall I entreat for thee? When do you want me to do this? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the silliest answer.
That's the most stupidest answer in the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, you won't do this tomorrow.
Can't meet it.
But it's a realistic answer.
Yeah.
Right.
People don't like their lifestyle. They don't like what's going on. They don't like what comes along with the sin.
Right.
And they come to church and a preacher preaches and tries to get them to let go of it and say, why don't you get saved today? And they say, well, I know I ought to, and I want to get this sin out of my life, and I want to get right with God, and I want to go to heaven. Okay, why don't you get saved today? Well, I'm going to get saved, but not today.
Yeah.
See, that's the way people do.
Yeah.
That's the foolishness of man.
And so Moses said, okay, and Moses, he does what he does, and the frogs start hopping out of the bed, and out of the stoves, and some of us done died, and they piled him up, and they spake, there's so many of them, and Those frogs hung their way back down to the Nile. Finally, the last frog's gone. We look down in let's read verse 12. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. You say, what happened to him? His repentance. The attributes of what this hardened heart is producing is that his repentance is not real.
Right.
He refused to obey the Lord. He has ignored repeated warnings from God. But over and over again, his repentance is not real.
Amen.
He says, if you'll help me to feel better, get rid of these frogs, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to let you go. And Moses does it. God does it. And Pharaoh sees they're all gone. And Pharaoh says, nope. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going to obey God. How many times do people do that in their life?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
How many times do people do that in their life?
That's true.
They get down sick and they think they're going to die. They send for the preacher. The preacher comes, has prayer with them. God answers the prayer, has mercy on the individual. God spares them. They promise they'll come to church. They promise they'll get right with God.
Yeah.
And then as soon as their health gets better and they start feeling better, they forget what they said to God. And every time that happens, their heart is hardened.
Right. Amen.
And hardened.
Yeah.
And hardened. It's a dangerous thing. You see, he's like Ahab. You remember when Ahab, Jezebel had Naboth stoned so that Ahab could get Naboth's vineyard. And Ahab went out and Ahab went out and he went to look at his new vineyard. He's walking down through the roads looking at his new vineyard that he'd got through the murder of an innocent man. And he got down there and he come around there and he met God's prophet head on. And he said, there you are, it's troubled Israel. And he said, I'm not troubled Israel, you've troubled Israel. And he pronounces judgment on him. And in 1 Kings 21, it said that it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes, he put sackcloth upon his flesh, he fasted and laid in sackcloth and went softly, and the word of the Lord came to Elisha the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in this day, but in his son's day, and I will bring the evil upon his house. You know what that tells me? That God is such a gracious God. God is such a long-suffering God. That even though Ahab's repentance is not truly genuine, God still has mercy on him.
Amen.
That's right. Still has mercy on him.
Yeah.
That's the way God is.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible said that even Judas, you know, that was Judas's problem. He repented. But the Bible said he repented himself.
Right.
Didn't say he went to Jesus and repented and told Jesus he was sorry for what he done. The Bible said he repented himself. You say, what's that mean? Well, what that means is that when we get caught in our sin, we're sorry we got caught. We're sorry everybody's going to find out about it. We're sorry that we've done it, not because it was an offense against God, but because that everybody's going to find out about it now. And the Bible says that kind of repentance, it's no good. But the Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance to be repented of no more.
Amen.
That's right. But you see, every time old Pharaoh would say, yeah, I'll let you go. As soon as things got better, he'd say, no, I ain't going to let you go. It reminds me of a lot of people. Again, that reminds me of our nation.
Right?
Right.
When 9/11 happened that morning, people were hunting a place to pray.
That's right.
They didn't want no prayer. In the Congress and the Senate, they didn't want no prayer, but they're all on the steps there praying.
Amen. They're right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, they were saying we're going to do better.
Yeah.
Well, we got things patched up a little bit.
Yeah. All gone.
Go ahead, God. We're done with you now. Yeah. We don't need you no more.
Right.
Yeah.
And the heart of this nation was hardened a little bit more.
Amen. Amen.
A little bit more. That's what's happening to Pharaoh. And then I want to look here at the annihilation of the heart in this case, in Pharaoh's case. The plagues go on, and finally, you know, the Lord does the plague of he's going to slay all the firstborn sons, and even Pharaoh's son is included in that. And he dies in that plague. So we get over there, and Pharaoh does let the people go after that one. But in verse 29 of chapter 12, and it said, "It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne." Let me say this right there. My or your hardened heart against God not only affects us, but it affects others around us.
Right.
Amen.
Pharaoh's boy lost his life because Pharaoh hardened his heart against God.
Amen.
And he said that sat on his throne until the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, for there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among the people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord," and all that. So he lets them go. And now get over to chapter 14, verse 5, and it said, "It was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people." See, it's a heart problem again. "And they said, what have we done this? What if we let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He's gone now, buddy.
Amen. Amen.
God gave him 10 chances and he kept hardening his heart.
Amen.
Yeah.
And now the people go and Pharaoh rises up again. His own son's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are crying all throughout his kingdom because their sons are dead. And his heart is so hard it just can't let go of what he wants.
Yeah.
And he said, "What did we do? Why did we let them go? We're going after them." And they went after him, Pharaoh. But I believe some writers say Pharaoh didn't go, but if you believe the Bible, it said he made ready his chariot and took his people with him.
That's right.
Right.
So he went, amen.
Right.
Amen, you're right.
The Bible says, verse 23, "And the Egyptians pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen." Verse 26, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea," they're not across, "that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained no so much as one of them.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't push God too far.
Yeah.
God was gracious one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times, eight times, nine times, but on that tenth time, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh.
Right.
Now, you remember when I read over there about those magicians doing the same thing? I said, I'll come back to that later. Did you know you can get to a place where that when God hardens your heart, that you'll believe a strong delusion and be damned.
Right.
That's what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes.
Yeah.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's going to be people that refuse to receive the love of God, refuse to receive salvation, and after Christ comes, takes the church out, it's too late then, they can't get saved.
Amen.
God will send them a strong delusion, they'll believe the lie, and they'll be damned.
Amen.
They'll be damned. Pharaoh will harden his heart for the last time. Did you know the sun? I'm talking about the sun shines in the sky. Did you know the sun that it'll melt one thing and harden something else? And it all has to do with the substance that the sun falls upon.
Right.
You know the word of God for some people it softens their heart. Other people, it just hardens their heart.
Mm-hmm.
I read about a Hindu that took a vow. You know, this is things they do in their religion, but this Hindu took a vow. And his vow was that he would take and he would cover his eyes. He would wrap wrappings around his eyes so tight that not even a ray of light of any kind could get in. And his vow was to do that for ever how long he felt he needed to do it, and after many, many years of doing that, he felt he had paid his vow. He began to take the wrappings off, and when he got the last wrappings off, he was still in the darkness. Because he had stayed in the darkness so long, that he'd be in the darkness forever now. That's what's going to happen to some people.
That's right.
They rejected the Lord. They've hardened their heart. They stayed in the darkness so long.
Amen, Brother Reed.
That one of these days they're going to wake up in a place that the Bible said is outer darkness, and it's going to be darkness forever.
Amen.
That's right. Everybody here tonight, including the one preached the message. Every one of us tonight, our heart is a little bit harder than it used to be back years ago.
That's true.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
And we need to be careful lest we become like Pharaoh in the sense that we just refuse the warnings of God. We pay no attention to what God is doing. Amen. I don't want to be that. One thing that I pray, I don't want it. I don't want a hard heart.
Amen.
I don't want a hard heart.
Yeah.
I want my heart to be tender to the Spirit of God.
Right.
I want my heart to be tender to the needs of humanity. I don't want a hard heart.
Amen.
I certainly don't want it to be hard towards sinners and lost people.
Amen.
It can happen. And it is happening, and it will happen. And I believe God wanted me to preach this message tonight. Just as a warning for me and you, you and me, that we need to guard our heart.
Amen.
In this day in which we live. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. And I studied it a lot and in fear that it wouldn't come out right, but I feel like, Lord, that the Spirit of God is able to help me present it the way it is. And God, I pray tonight you just speak to all of us tonight. And you know, we read over there, it said today. That means today, right now for us, Sunday, today. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Lord, if any one of us tonight hear you, Lord, may we not harden our heart, but may we yield our heart to the voice of God and do whatever you'd have us to do in this service tonight. That you'd be pleased with us and we'd be better for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight if you would, please. We sing tonight. Smile, Lord.
careful. Father, we're thankful tonight, Lord, once again, God, for thy word. Thank you, God, for your anointing on Pastor Rick tonight, Lord,
yes,
for the deliverance, God, of that you put upon his heart, Lord. Father, there's no doubt, as he said, every heart in here has been hardened to some extent, God.
We
pray, God, tonight, Father, folks have been obedient, Lord. Pray, God, tonight, Father, you'll help us all, Father, be more mindful, be like-minded, have the mind of Christ in us, Lord, that we might look upon our world and have compassion that you had upon it, Lord, when you were here. Help us, Father, I pray, God, to just follow after the Father, leadership of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, we might share the love of Jesus Christ with the whole world. We pray, God, tonight, Father, that you'll just continue, Father, to deal with us. Help us to grow as a church, Lord.
Yes,
help us to grow as individuals.
Yes.
Thank you. We praise you. We love you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Thank you for coming out tonight. Be careful going home. It's messy out there and the roads are wet. And so we prayed before we ever got here. Certainly, we prayed this evening for everybody to have safety getting here and safety getting back.
Amen.
And so we trust the Lord to do that. All right, any word on anyone's heart tonight before we dismiss for them?
They're going to like to thank the Lord. I was thinking about when I first got saved. I remember I couldn't even testify for a week and I couldn't get any words out. My heart was tender. I remember David F. talking about he'd be up in the parking lot weeping and said, or even going to church because his heart was so tender, you know, just the deceitfulness of sin and get all cleaned up. And I have to admit, I kind of like to stay there, but can't. But I remember going out to the hospital, a man told me about a guy who rode up and said he had a heart attack. And I went out there to see him, and he was in the ICU. And I remember when I went in there, and I thought he was dead. He had blood all in his hair and blood all over him. And I wept over him because I'd known him ever since he was little. As I was weeping over him, he come too. It scared me and scared him too. And I still remember what he said. He said, pray for me, God, let me live. He said, I'll come to church, I'll get saved. And I was kind of like Moses. I was like, Lord, over me. And I was glad to. I said, Lord, I said, let him live. Let him get saved. And you couldn't drive him into church with a bulldozer right now. I see him a lot. I pray for him all the time. We've been out there many times on visitation, like you said tonight.
Yes, sir.
Diver's hard. Yeah. Just get hard.
Amen. That happened several times in 4 or 5 years. That's the way it goes. People harden their heart. And find it gets so hard that in some cases it's not that God's not still speaking and dealing. It's just that their heart's got so hard they can't feel it, sense it. When I was a boy, we were working, helping cut the bacon, spiking the bacon stuff. And when you was doing that during that season, you'd get them calluses on your hands. And you know, you touch that callus and you couldn't really feel it. You know, just touching your hand, but you couldn't feel it because of the callus.
Right.
And that's the way some people's hearts get spiritually. They get so hardened. It's not that God's not touching it. It's just that their heart has got so callous they can't feel it no more. And that's what a true, real, true, broken repentance will rip that callus off.
Yeah.
And if you ever rip that callus off, then it's tender then.
Amen.
Boy, you can touch anything. You can feel anything touching it then because it's tender.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. God bless you tonight. You're free to go. And thank you for coming today.
What was that music? Mm-hmm.